Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We've got a great show for you today. Today, we are on episode 2 of what I'm calling the Declutter Diaries with my clutter counselor, my clutter coach, Kathy Lipp. Listen, today we are going to talk about turning clutter into keepsakes. If you missed the first show, go back and take a listen. We talked about 100 spaces to declutter. Now, as I told you last time, you might be wondering, why in the world are you spending so much time on this? Well, let me tell you, if you are like my family and like many families out there, clutter might be a constant companion, taking up space in your home, taking space in your schedule, and most importantly, taking space in your mind and your heart and causing conflict in your relationships. It is something that we all deal with, those piles of things that just never seem to go away. But have you ever really stopped to think about how clutter really impacts your family life? Now, physically, it makes our homes feel cramped, chaotic, overwhelming. Navigating those cluttered spaces is a daily frustration. I am there. This is me, tripping over shoes, digging through piles to find what I need, and simply feel like I'm drowning in the mess and never getting it any better. Socially, it can make hosting family and friends feel stressful because we worry, what do other people think when they come into our home? Oh, I can't invite anybody over. Or if I do, I've got to find another closet to stuff this clutter in so that I can have a clutter-free room. It leads to isolation because it keeps us from inviting people over or even fully engaging with each other. And Kathy shared her very convicting story I've been thinking about nonstop since the last episode that we had, talking about how that's not her life anymore, how she can invite anyone over at any time. I want to get there. Now, emotionally, clutter can feel like a weight hanging over us. It is that subtle tension that we carry as we stare at that ever-growing pile of stuff, and we get frustrated with ourselves because we can't seem to get control of it. And relationally, it can take a toll. When we are constantly battling the mess, it impacts how we communicate, how we connect, how we spend time together as a family. And what started as a few misplaced items is now a source of stress and conflict in the home. Why does this house always have to look like this? Why can't you pick up your stuff? Why is this so messy? But here is where it gets really tricky and what we're going to focus on today. Sentimental clutter. Those keepsakes, the gifts, the mementos. We can all say that we all need to get rid of our piles of paper or get rid of the trash that we need to sort out. But when we talk about those things that carry emotional weight, the idea of letting them go feels like we're losing a piece of our history, losing a piece of our identity or the love that we felt in a special moment. It is so tough. This is tough for me to decide what to keep, what to let go, how to honor those memories without feeling overwhelmed. But we have hope for you today because it doesn't have to stay this way. And let me tell you, I have heard from so many of you who have said, hey, I'm in. I am taking this journey for you. I am taking hope in a new way forward. And today we're going to explore, how do we break free from that clutter that's weighing down our families and find a balanced approach to preserving our memories, but still looking towards the future, not being consumed by the past. So Kathy today is going to help us make intentional choices about what truly matters. We're going to learn how to create systems that work for your unique space, and we're going to transform clutter. We're going to learn how to do that, make it into something meaningful, make that messy clutter into a meaningful memory. So it's time to take a deep breath, declutter your heart and your home, and embrace a fresh perspective. So let's get started. We're going to dive right in to the art of turning messy clutter into meaningful memories. It's not about keeping everything. I'm telling myself that right now, but choosing what truly matters. So let's explore how story preservation beats the pileup of objects, how we can honor memories without being overwhelmed, and how to make active choices to create systems that work. So, Kathy, can we save the world in about 43 minutes? Do you think that we can do it?
I think we can save a corner of your house. Does that qualify?
You know, I will tell you, Kathy, as an update, you have already saved a corner of my house. I have an update for you as an accountability. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Okay, so if you're watching on the video, I'm holding up my little rocket science notebook. I got a rocket science notebook because my husband, right. Well, by very nature, being a rocket scientist, you can guess he's not the sentimental type of fellow. He's an engineer and he doesn't keep clutter. But I have my list of last time we talked about 100 spaces to declutter. And I'm so happy. I just turned to page 2. I have decluttered 31 spaces since our last talk,
what?
Kathy. 31. How
That's
did I do?
Amazing.
And to
That's
tell
incredible.
You what my husband did, I have this note from my husband as I'm decluttering the closet. Now get ready because this is super sappy, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. It says to Jessica on it because he listened to your show about being encouraging, right? And it says, oh gosh, this is so funny. Okay. It says, I know I don't need glasses because when I look at you, I see perfect.
Oh, I love that so much. So you know what? Couldn't we all use a little bit more sap in our lives? I'm here for the sap.
Well, he listened and said, I love you, clutter or no clutter, and wanted to be supportive. So, Kathy, take us into this for step 2 of our decluttering journey here. Why is it so hard to get rid of sentimental stuff?
Oh my goodness. You know, I think that we tend to, and this is reinforced by media, this is reinforced by, you know, maybe our parents or grandparents, we tend to either live in the past or live in the future. So we remember that time when maybe parenting was hard, but the relationship with our child is easy. Or remember when our kids like to do some of the same things that we did. Or, you know, we think about, if I get rid of this, I'm going to miss it someday. I don't know who I'm going to be in 20 years, but I don't want to regret getting rid of this. And so I think that so much of our time is spent living in the past or the future that we tend to discount what is happening right now. You know, I have a group, Clutter Free for Life, where people, you know, they pay to be in this group to get rid of stuff. And a lot of the people I meet with, you know, we have a one-on-one consult once a year to say, okay, where are you going to go? And one person told me about the indoor play center that they have in their house, and their kids are all in their 20s, and they've kept that for, you know, 20 years. And I'm not putting a judgment on whether that was a good use of space. I don't know how big their house was. But I think about that. You know, we are paying a mortgage or rent on a space in our house for decades because our grandkids might want to play with something, or it might be good. And so I think about, you know, my parents were very pragmatic. I'm much more of a sentimental person. But when I put it in dollars and cents, like, how much am I paying per square foot to keep something that maybe someday, maybe my grandkids would use? And it really does help me decide. It puts it in a little bit more black and white because everybody, you know, society says you should keep everything all the time because what, you know, rebuying something is the worst thing you can do. And I just think, no, I think sometimes giving something away is the best thing you can do. And if you don't know what your future looks like, and I'd rather have the space in my house to do the things that are important to me today than projecting what I think is going to be important to me in 20 years.
That is really convicting because I'm in that stage of life where my kids are getting to that adulting stage and I'm starting to think on the horizon a little bit about what do I keep? What would my grandkids play with? I see, you know, my kids, they love to play with some of my husband's toys that he had when he was when he was little, but it was some of them. It was like one little Star Wars thing, which you know, that was it. It wasn't like a ton of that. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about sustainable solutions and overconsumption and all of that kind of stuff. But I really like, Kathy, what you say. It's like, okay, you don't need it for a time, but somebody else might need it in this time. And then when you need to reacquire it, you could do that in a sustainable way, right?
Right. Let me tell you one of the smartest things I ever did, and it really did help me. I had kids. My brother and I are very close in age, but we had kids very far apart. My kids are in their 30s. My niece is 16. So that gives you an indication of how far apart they are. My brother had a set of Brio trains. If you know Brio trains, they're the nice wooden ones. They're from Scandinavia or Germany. I can't quite remember. They're very expensive. And my son loved playing with them. But after he was done with them, there were no kids on the horizon. Well, I had a friend who had kids, a little boy and a little girl. And I said, would you like these for 5 years? If you would like them for 5 years, I'm going to put it on my calendar 5 years from now that I'm going to check back in with you. And I did check back in with her, and she said they're still using them. I'm like, okay, let's do it for another couple of years. And then when my son's daughter was born, or when they were thinking about having kids, I said, let me get those back from you because now they are interested in having it. So that was a smart thing for me to do. I also have done that. I did that with a plastic, like it was a Barbie house. And I said, can I check back in with you? I couldn't bear to give it away. But I said, oh, I would be happy to lend this to somebody. And then I realized, you know what, if I ever have grandkids who want to play with a Barbie house, I'll go buy one. I don't want to store this for years and years and years. And so we get to make those decisions. The only toys that I've kept from my kids' childhood, I now have the Brio trains again, and I have a dollhouse that my dad built and my grandmother painted. And I don't miss anything else. We can buy more plastic toys at some point. And it's not that we're being wasteful. We're saying, you know what? The kids center at church or the food pantry has a place where parents can go pick out gently used or new toys. These are all things that some kid now will be able to use. And isn't that what we want? We want to be generous. We want to be thinking of those around us instead of hoarding things for someday maybe.
Convicting. I'm telling you, it's convicting. And we're coming up on a break, Kathy, but you have a lot of practical ideas. And so when we come back, I want to dive into more of this because there is a big transition. When you have kids who are living at home, they are rapidly growing in and out of stages. Those stages don't last for very long. But then if you have multiple kids, you're keeping things for multiple stages. But you talk about, you have some strategies for when kids live at home and when they move out. And one of the things that I really like that now I'm doing with my kids is this process of curating their memories with them, saying, okay, we're going to decide together what's special to you. And then I decide some of the things that aren't special to them may be special to me, but we can decide that together. Right. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. And then later on in the program, we'll talk about our own sentimental items, which this is where I'm going to need a lot of help. I'm just going to tell you right now because I have all of these boxes and boxes of stuff from my granny that I can't bear to even open yet. Yeah. But you already have so many ideas for what we can do and how we can repurpose those. Or also we'll talk about what to do with items from loved ones who have passed. And that would be me. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Kathy Lipp. And when we come back, we'll tell you how to join her free Facebook page and access her other resources. Because I'm telling you, if people are paying for this service, it means it is impacting their life and they're invested. I'm invested. I hope you're invested. And we'll see you right back here on the other side of this break with episode 2 of the Declutter Diaries. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back, friends. That is Do It Again by Elevation Worship. And God is not going to fail you, even if this is in your decluttering journey. If you are on that journey like I am, listen, this has spiritual impacts. It really does. Having our lives overly cluttered, holding on to things, when you start to say, what can I let go of? You may just find some healing for emotional or social or mental struggles that you've been having. It may indicate something more than's going on than just a pile of stuff that is in the corner. We are talking today with Kathy Lipp. All of this year, once a month, we're going to be having what I'm calling the Declutter Diaries. This is episode 2, and I've been sharing my own journey with this. And Kathy, one of the things I was sharing with you during the break is that as I was cleaning out my closet, I had some things with tags on them, and I thought, oh, you know, that feels like such a waste. Like, I can't give that away because that feels like I'm saying, look at this money I wasted. But after I heard your story about going in a time of need in your life and finding a pair of shoes, a designer shoes that your son wanted, sneakers, I thought, okay, this is where my mindset shifts. Instead of thinking about me, I'm thinking about the person who may be going expecting to get something used or get a hand-me-down, and they're going to open the bag and find a bag full of new clothes with tags on them. How amazing is that? And can I not give out of the extra that I have? It's just sitting in my closet. That's where it becomes a spiritual issue for me, Kathy. I don't know.
Well, and also, can I just point out, first of all, I love the heart behind that because, you know, we have been taught our entire lives not to be wasteful, not to be wasteful. And so we see something with tags on it, we're like, I am so wasteful. I'm such a terrible person. But yes. Here's what I also want to be able to say is, you know what? Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we buy something. Sometimes we're influenced to buy something. And we buy something and we get it home and we, you know, don't try it on quickly enough because life gets in the way, or we bought it on sale and it just isn't us. And so if I can look at that as I made a rash decision, but you know what, this shirt that may be a little too tight on me or doesn't flatter me, it's going to be the perfect thing for that job interview. or for that date night with somebody's husband or something. It was just meant to pass through my hands to get to the right person. And that right person couldn't afford it at its full price, but they can afford it at Goodwill, or they can, you know, somebody has curated that through a, you know, clothing women who are getting ready for a job interview. Like, sometimes we are just, this is what it means to be the hands and feet. It really is.
It is. And, you know, speaking of hands and feet, Kathy, I cannot even tell you how many papers I have that have handprints and footprints on them that are painted by my children. I've got boxes and boxes of artwork, but you've got some practical tips for things like school projects, sports trophies, artwork, clothes. So give us just a little run through, a little challenge here of some things that we could consider when keeping those things, our kids, whether it's to clothes with tags on them or whether it's a painted footprint.
Yes, and we have to realize our kids sometimes are the super sentimental or burn it all. You know, there is quite a difference between children, right? And so we have to take that into consideration as well. But let me give you some ideas that have really helped me. And I wish I would have learned some of these when my kids were younger, but you know what? You learn them when you learn them. You know when you know. So one thing we did for each of our kids is we had one tub for them. And this tub was where all of their memories were going to go. And of course, like, you get to kindergarten, that thing is filled up. You are like, okay, I'm going to need 12 tubs. But let's be honest, as our kids are littler, things are more precious. That first little footprint, that first little scribble on a piece of paper, all of those are like, oh, it's so precious. And then as they get older, we need to start that process of curation. It's like, you know, if you've ever tried to donate something maybe to a museum or a historical society, they are very grateful, but they can't take everything. They want to take what's representative of what they are trying to display, what the story they're trying to tell. So let's do the same things with our kids. Is that scribble page of Moses really representative of my kids, or is it the Thomas the Tank Engine or the Bluey that they first, you know, tried to draw and they were so excited about? Maybe that's a little bit more representative. Then if you can take that tub and once a year, you and your child, for, you know, an appropriate amount of time. So maybe with a two-year-old, I mean, a second grader, it's going to be 20 minutes. But with a 16-year-old, you say, you know what, we're going to go get some Starbucks. We're going to sit down here for an hour, and we're just going to go through and say what's important to you. And I'll be honest, when I did that with my son, he wanted to get rid of Blue Blankie, and I'm like, over my dead body. Like, Blue, you don't remember, no. But like, Blue Blankie was like the third kid in our house. Like, there's no way. No. And he's like, yeah, Mom, I don't remember any of that. And so I decided, you know what? I am putting that over a chair in one of our rooms because it means more to me than to him. And I think sometimes we as parents get into trouble saying this should be so meaningful to you. And it's just not. So for things like school projects, keep the ones that really, you know, the first 100 on a spelling test when your child was struggling with spelling. That, or even, you know what, maybe it's their first C on a spelling test. I am not here to judge. And if you're like, oh, I don't know if we should get rid of this, but it's probably not as meaningful, just take a picture of it. Pictures can be just as meaningful. When it comes to trophies or ribbons or things like that, keep the ones that are significant to your child. The ones where maybe they had the best team on the Mighty Mites and they found their friends there, or they have those pictures. If you're trying to ascribe meaning that's not really there for your kids, it's just going to get tossed out anyway. For artwork, one of my favorite things to do is just to have a deep, you know, it's basically an 8.5 by 11 frame where you can keep some artwork in there, but you can change it out too. So you can have one for each kid and you change it out. The other thing I really like are these slide-in magnetic sleeves that you can put either on your refrigerator or on the side of your refrigerator where you can swap out artwork. But don't keep a bunch of things in boxes because you're going to forget what's in there and you're not going to care at some point, but you're going to be like, well, there must be a reason I kept it. And it's this perpetuating cycle. And then one of my favorite things that we've done is for some clothes for my daughter. We have these two dresses my mom made for my daughter. One was beautiful with sunflowers and the other one was kind of a rustic one with little Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy. And my daughter looked at the sunflower dress and said, that's the most beautiful dress I've ever seen, Grandma. And she looked at the other one and she said, you can give that to the poor children. And it's the most embarrassing but hilarious story. Right? Yeah. Right?
Right.
You know,
right.
As a mother, I'm
it's
dying.
It's real. They're honest.
Dying. They're so honest. But you know what we did with those dresses? And I just figured this out within the past couple of years. We got teddy bears. And we put, well, we had the teddy bears and we put the dresses on the teddy bears. And, you know, it's just a cute way of displaying something that otherwise would be just sitting in a box. And I'm going to challenge your listeners, but Jessica, I'm actually going to challenge you because you're the only one who can answer right now.
Okay. All right. On the spot. No pressure.
You can do this. And there's no wrong answer, okay? I'm not going to get mad at you. The clutter police are not coming for you. But if getting rid of clothes or getting rid of toys, if you're afraid to do that, I just want to know, like, what's the fear sitting behind getting rid of that item? Because there's always that initial, oh, I can't do it. But there's always a deeper feeling there.
Mm. Wow, Kathy. Okay, see, this is where you should have been a therapist. You're my clutter counselor. I said it at the beginning. And you know what? As you're sitting here describing that, I can actually give you an answer. It's pretty hard to give the answer, but it's pretty easy for me to have it in my head. I think that when I have those things, it's a curated preservation to show that I was a good mom, that I was engaged.
You know what? Can I just... so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that because I think we want that tangible proof that I did everything I could for my kids. Mm-hmm. I made sure that when they had an interest, I was supporting that interest. When, you know, I wanted them to be presented to the world well. And I think that's a really honest answer. And I also think it's a really healthy answer in so many ways because there aren't a lot of people saying you did such a great job with your kids. Maybe other people have had that. I've had people tell me, I love your kid. You know, they're so good in my class and things like that. But on our worst days, we need reminders. We did everything we knew how. And I think if we are really honest about that answer, the pictures of those items, and you know, maybe the little story that goes with that picture, you know, we drove for, you know, 12 hours to go to this soccer tournament where my son played for 3.2 minutes. And, you know, but we did it as a family and, you know, this other kid got sick. Putting all that stuff down is as good or if not better than keeping that soccer jersey. And we just have to say what tells the story.
Well, I have pledged to be transparent in my journey on this. So I will take your challenge, Kathy. Yeah. I will do that because I have a whole closet full of stuff that's just a basic curation that I can walk in just for my own edification and say, hey, you were a good mom. You cared. But you've really convicted me. Again, I've had a shift in my thinking because you have talked about the fact that stories matter more than the objects. Mm. And I show those objects to my children, but they don't know the stories of the why. And so I'm going to think about that as I go through and think, is this not an object worth preserving? Is this a story worth preserving? And how can I preserve that story? I mean, I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I did. And now, Kathy, we're in the when the kids move out So, you know, we're moving from that. So what are you talk about something called an ownership transfer conversation. Tell me all the things.
Yes. So, you know, I did this with both with all four of our kids. But, you know, our kids were in different spaces. It's not realistic to say, you know, the first year they move out, here, take your boxes. There has to be kind of a transfer. And I think one of the things that you and I are doing, Jessica, is we are teaching our kids to make thoughtful decisions, to say you don't need everything. And by the way, I'm a little bit older than you, but I know that my kids, who are millennials and, you know, they are a little bit older than, and they're probably the same age as some of the people who are listening right now. But let me tell you this, they don't want all that stuff. they don't want to curate it. They don't want to keep it. They don't want to drag it around. My kids have very different lifestyles than you and I do. And so asking ourselves, why am I keeping this? Who am I keeping it for? Are some really good questions, not for just us to ask ourselves, but for our kids to teach them how to have those conversations. And if something means more to you than to your kids, don't make them feel guilty for it not having as much meaning. They get to be their own person. And so I'm going to keep things of my kids that I can't bear to part with, but I'm also going to let control if I give it to them. If I give it to them, you know, if they take it with them and eventually they decide, oh, I'm going to sell it. Let me give you an example. We have an American Girl doll, and my daughter was deeply, you know, Samantha was her girl, right? Mm-hmm. And she's in her 30s now. And it was so hard for me to say this, but to say to Kimberly, hey, Kimberly, this is your doll. If you want to keep it, that's great. If you want to sell it or donate it or throw it away.
Oh, no.
That's your decision to make. I said, but here's an asterisk. If you want to throw it away, can I just find somebody to give it to? And so we had that conversation, and I still have it. She's going to pick it up next time. But her friend has a daughter, and she's going to check with her. And she said, if she doesn't want it, then she is going to try to sell it. And I'm like, that is fine by me. You know, I need you. There are so many strings attached sometimes. It's really tough, and we have
I'm
to
not
be able
there
to get
yet.
Some agency.
Kathy, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm on this journey.
Your kids are younger.
And that's right. Well, listen, we are already up against a break, but that was such a great point. How do we make active choices over passive storage of our junk? Let's be honest. So when we come back, we'll talk about our own sentimental things that we're holding on to. Don't go away. We'll be back with more from Kathy Lipp.
Here's Dr. John Oswalt from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
One of the remarkable things about the God of the Bible is that he is a God who speaks. The writers of the Bible again and again talk of him as the living God. And when they do, they include this idea that the idols are dumb. They cannot speak. Language is an incredible mystery, really. What is it that makes human beings able to communicate in word? Personally, I think that is the image of God in us, because God speaks. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God spoke the world into existence. It did not somehow evolve from his body. It was something that he spoke.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Welcome back, friends. That is My King. That's My King by Cece Winans, and a great song to get your blood pumping. And we are talking today about decluttering. We are having episode 2 of the Declutter Diaries with Kathy Lipp. Now, this is a journey that I am taking. I'm being very transparent about. I am a clutter keeper. I like to hold on to things. I'm that person that's just in case, but what if, and all of these things. And I'm also the person who's tripping over things, who's, you know, digging through piles of things, trying to find my shoes or whatever it is that I need. Or maybe I go out and buy something because I can't find what I'm looking for. I am really trying to get control of this because I know the impact it has on my sanity and my family and all of those things. So we're talking all this year. We're having one episode a month with Kathy Lipp. I'm so grateful that she has agreed to do that. And we're talking today about turning the clutter into keepsakes. And really some of the things that have stuck out to me most so far as we've been talking. And by the way, if you missed the first episode, go back and listen on 100 Spaces to Declutter. We've talked about how stories matter more than objects. So I'm going to be thinking, is this a story worth keeping? And when I'm thinking about those sentimental things, and making active choices over passive storage. So Kathy, before I forget, I want everybody to connect to your Facebook page and to your group. So for those that are thinking, oh, I need this, how do they get in before I forget?
Yeah, if you just search on Facebook, Kathy Lipp's Clutter Free Academy, or even if you just did Clutter Free Academy, there's a page. We ask you a couple of questions just to make sure that, you know, we get less, we don't want spammy people in there, but it's a free group. We have like 16,000 people in there and we are all working on our clutter. So we would love to have you come over and do 16,000. Hey, you are not
I feel
alone.
Seen.
You are not alone. Yeah. And we also have a guide to, it's called A Compassionate Approach to Letting Go of Sentimental Items. And I know that Stephanie has that in the notes. So we would love for you to get that free resource. I think it'll be super helpful to a lot of people.
Well, that's fantastic. So you can go to the show notes on the podcast download, or you can look on our Facebook live stream and you'll see the link to that. And thank you so much, Kathy, for doing that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give it back to you. We're talking about having our kids things. Anything else that you want to add about that before we start transitioning to the things that we are sentimental about as adults?
Yeah. You know, just really quickly, you were very honest and raw and said, I keep these things to show that I was a good mom.
Yeah.
And I just want to affirm that because there is a long stretch of time where most children are not going to be, you know, they're not going to rise up and call us blessed. They're not going to say, Mom, you were the most mom among mom. We need some of that tangible evidence to say, no, I did. I did everything I knew how as a mom to create this good life. And let me tell you, in their 30s, at least mine have kind of come around and like, yeah, you weren't so bad. That's good. You know, like I'll take what I can get at this point, right? But it is natural to want to say, hey, I invested a lot in this. I invested a lot in these humans. Also, as your confidence as a mom grows, you can also release some of those things that you don't have to keep everything. Keep the best things.
That is good advice. And I will tell you that, yeah, it is. My kids do not rise and call me blessed on a daily basis. And they certainly don't do that when they walk into my clutter closet and look at everything. They don't say, oh, wow, Mom, you look at all of this that you've curated. They're like, Mom, you really have a problem. Like, you really need to get rid of this, because that's not what they hold on to. It's what I hold on to.
Right.
And I just got to hold on to Jesus more than I hold on to that. But, you know, you talk about holding on to other things that we love. And you have this principle called the if you love it, show it principle. So tell us how that can help us to make active, what did you say? Make active choices over passive storage.
Yeah. So our rules are, if you love it, use it, or would buy it again, it's not clutter. And then, but I say, if you love it and it's in a tub in your garage, I question your love. And so, like one of the sentimental things is, My mom, I found a spoon on our property that was from the 1920s. We had gold miners living out here. So it's this spoon. And I kept thinking, how can I display it? How can I display it? And then I couldn't display it. So I stuck it in a drawer. But now I'm like, why am I not using that? It's safe to use. My mom just gave me a silver plated scoop that was my grandmother's. And I kept thinking, how can I display it? You know what? I'm just going to use that as my coffee scoop in the morning. If you love something, use it or show it. I was just visiting a friend who sadly lost her 29-year-old daughter just about a year ago. And her daughter's favorite flower was sunflowers. And she gave me this little framed sunflower. And I've put it in front of my sink in the kitchen. So when I look at it, I just remember to thank God for my life and for my kids and for the life that my friend got to live with her daughter. I'm putting things out. Memories left in boxes fade. But if I actively use these things, these people that I love, these memories that I have become a part of my everyday life. The thing that I love, I use. And so how can you creatively display some things? I have a family recipe that's framed in my kitchen. I just think, you know, it's useful and it's beautiful. My friend Robin went viral on TikTok because she, and I know some of the people who are listening here are going to recognize this video. She had her father-in-law's chili recipe lasered onto a cutting board for her husband in her father-in-law's handwriting. And the video is just him breaking down and crying because he had lost his father, you know. And but that is meaningful, and they can hang that board up, and it's a priceless memory for them. Putting your grandmother's costume jewelry in a shadow box, or hung around a vase, or put it on a stuffed animal. Can you tell I like to use stuffed animals?
I love it.
It's just a fun way to do it. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite solutions is these digital art frames or digital picture frames, where you can scan in a picture and it just, that picture comes up, you know, every couple of hours, but you get to see that artwork or that picture of your child twirling a baton. There's some great ways to display things you love in your house.
You know, I actually have one of those cutting boards. My sister gave it to me after my grandmother passed away. It has my granny's recipe for potato soup, which was just her famous thing. You know, anytime anybody was sick, if you sneezed once, like she was going to show up with a big pot of potato soup. It was just like our, you know, comfort thing. And she did. She had it lasered onto a cutting board, and it's hanging in my kitchen. And sometimes I use it when I'm making potato soup. I have the recipe right there on the wall, and I see it. And she also, she put the recipe on there, and then she took another part from a letter that she had written that said, "I love you, Granny." And so that's what it says on the bottom of it. And you're right, Kathy. Like, I look at that and I think, I love it. I use it. I would definitely buy it again. So see, I'm learning.
Right.
I'm there. So what are some other ideas that you have for preserving things or repurposing them? You got some great ideas. I want some more. Okay, hang on. We might have lost Kathy. Hold on. I'm trying to preserve our connection with her, but she has some. Oh, there you are. Okay, You're back.
Yeah,
okay.
So sorry about that.
That's okay.
A couple of other ideas. So I would say travel souvenirs. You know, if you're somebody who loves to get a souvenir while you're traveling, think about something that is useful or something that's not going to take up space. I was just visiting a little tiny town in Tennessee with my friend, and instead of picking up a tchotchke, I got a tea towel from this area from a local artist. And, you know, that is something that is functional, beautiful, and useful. And so think about things like that. Think about things that you could incorporate into other things. I know that this was very popular for a while, but if you don't want to get rid of your kids' clothes, could you take all those t-shirts and have a friend pay them to turn that into a quilt to give your child when they're going to college or when they get married? Those kind of things. I think about these things, and if you don't know what to do with something, you can go to a craft store, Hobby Lobby, Michaels, get a shadow box and put those beautiful things in that you can't get rid of. Just get it out of your garage. That's the thing I'm going to beg you for. Get it out of your garage. Think about it this way, Jessica. How can I surround myself with love in my own home?
You know, I can feel my sister like texting me. I don't even have my phone, but I feel like she's already texting me saying, get that stuff out of your garage because I have analysis paralysis. I can't decide what to do with it. It's special, but you know, going through it is really, really hard. But you do have, you had some good ideas about digital preservation strategies, about doing a video recording with story narration, because this is something that I see, you know, I've inherited some of these photo albums from my granny, but I don't know a lot of the stories that are behind them. And I think I wish that I had had some sort of recording that I'd gone through it with her and recorded that and listened to the stories. It wasn't about the photograph. It was about the stories that made her who she was, that then she gave that grit and that grace to me. So it's not the photo that I treasure. It's the grit and the grace and the story of that.
Right.
And I had another guest on who talked about having your children and your, do a what she called a museum home tour with their grandparents. So go around and video them and tell them the stories about the museum pieces, quote unquote, that are in their home. Like, what are your most special possessions? So maybe it's a table that somebody made for you when you got married and you've had it for 75 years or whatever it is. We don't know what those special things were. So my kids have started doing this with their grandparents, and it's so fun to go around and to see the stories behind those.
I love that so much. And you know what? It actually serves a double purpose because I live in fire country and we have to go around and videotape our house every 6 months or so just to say, here's what we have, here's what we own. And to be able to tell the stories about some of those things is such a great idea. And may I just introduce a little technology here?
Yeah.
Using AI to get ideas of how to, you know, create a memory book or make a list of things to photograph or maybe tell a story, you know, having AI help you write that story and asking your, you know, here are questions to ask your grandparents about their things. All of those things can be used in really, really lovely ways. And also, I love to get ideas on Pinterest. I had a piece of china that was my grandmother's, and I love this piece of china, and it broke. Of course it broke, because this is, you know, real life. But I had that shaped into a heart because she would sign all of her letters with hearts. And I had somebody on Etsy do a heart pendant for me out of this piece of china. And it's a piece of jewelry I get to wear now. And it's so much better than having something on a shelf in my kitchen.
You know, you remind me, I think I've shared with you before that when I got married, there was a lady who was a lot older than me at the time, and she gave me this really beautiful silver bowl, and she gave it to me, and she said, now this is a bowl that you will use to serve your husband because you will have no more special or important guest at your table than him. He is always your most important guest at dinner. And I think about that, some of the things that we have that you think, oh, you can't use that because it's too special or, you know, too fragile, but maybe we can use some of these things and incorporate the stories. Well, Kathy, we are out of time again, but we will see you next month for episode 3 of the Declutter Diaries. We did not get to talk about what do we do with items from loved ones who've passed. Maybe that was a subconsciously intentional on my part, because that is a real tender spot for me. But you have a way of getting into the corner, the cluttered corners of my heart, Kathy. Listen, I hope you have been encouraged in listening. Think about quality over quantity of stuff. Remember that stories matter more than the objects do, and make active choices to curate those things rather than passive storage. Create systems that work for you. Listen, I hope you tune in next time. Go and find Kathy Lipp online. You can find it on our show notes. And as you're on your own decluttering journey or supporting someone through theirs, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in the middle of clutter and chaos. I'll see you tomorrow for Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.